Hey everyone, welcome to Stutter Talk for this special story time edition, How I Got to Now, with return guest Taro Alexander. Hey Taro.
Hey Peter, how are you?
I am so happy that you're doing story time. I'm your host, Peter Reitzes, and I'm going to get out of the way today so Taro can tell his story, his three stuttering experiences. I'll just briefly introduce you first. Taro Alexander is the founder and director of SAY, the Stuttering Association for the Young, formerly R-Time. Taro is joining us from the SAY offices in Manhattan. Taro founded SAY 14 years ago, and SAY is guided by the belief that a young person who stutters has a voice that matters, and it is a voice that deserves to be heard. SAY.org. Taro, tell us your story, man.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Peter. I've started stuttering when I was 5. But my first memory of stuttering is when I was 11 years old. It was in Washington, D.C., and my parents, who got divorced when I was 8, came together on this day when I was 11 to bring me to speech therapy. It was a hotel conference room, and I was the only child in the room. And the speech pathologist asked everybody to introduce themselves. Everyone went around the circle. Many people really struggled to get their names out. There was one gentleman in particular who I'll never forget. He was wearing a suit and a tie, and he could not get his name out. And he kept struggling on the M sound. My name is My name is And this went on for a long time. And he was pounding the table trying to get his name out. He finally did. And he pounded the table so hard that he knocked a glass of water that was right next to him all over himself onto his suit. And I remember sitting there thinking, this man is a freak. He is a loser. He is a dork. All these people in this room, this is not the cool club. And I was 11 and I was obsessed with being cool. And the next thought that came to me very quickly after that was, if this is the room that I'm in, that must be how I look to other people when I talk. And in that moment, I hated the way that I spoke. I didn't feel cool. I felt hideous and ugly and like a freak. That was my introduction to speech therapy. And the focus of this speech therapy was, if you practice these speech techniques hard enough, then you won't stutter anymore. And if you're still stuttering, it's because you're not practicing them hard enough. This was a long time ago, and I would do my speech techniques every day instead of playing with my friends outside and hearing them play football outside. I would be inside my house practicing my speech techniques every day, which I would record onto a cassette tape and then mail the cassette tape to the speech therapist, who would record his comments on the cassette tape, mail it back to me. I would listen to his comments, and that was supposed to make me fluent. And all I know is what it did for me was it made me hate the way that I speak. And from age 11 until about 26 years old, my number one goal in life was to not stutter. And I spent my life in hiding, changing words, but mainly just remaining silent. And anytime I thought I would stutter, I would find my way out of it. That's the first chunk, the first story. Skip to 15 years later. I was 26 years old. I was a professional actor, and I was doing a play in Denver, Colorado. I was on the phone with my grandparents, and they asked me the name of the show. They had forgotten the name of the show I was in. And it started with the letter D, which was hard for me to say without stuttering. And I tried to get it out, and I couldn't. And I remember walking around my apartment in Denver, stomping my feet, hitting my hand against the wall, doing anything to get this word out. And my grandparents were being very patient with me, not saying anything. After probably a minute, it was actually a minute of not being able to get it out, I found myself on the floor in my closet, tugging at a shirt that was on a hanger, tugging as hard as I could, trying to just yank that shirt off and push that D word out of my mouth. I eventually did. I was sweating. I could hardly breathe, but I got the word out. And my grandparents just very kindly continued the conversation, and they said, "That's the name. Thank you. We couldn't remember it." And I hung up the phone, and I sat there in the closet, and I took a snapshot of my life. Here I was, 26 years old, literally sitting in the closet, and I felt so terrible about myself. And not even that I took so long to get my word out, but I couldn't say to my grandparents that was really hard. I had avoided talking about stuttering or dealing with stuttering for so long that I had no one to talk to. I had isolated myself about this issue. 2 weeks later, I was performing in a play in Colorado, and in front of about 600 people, I got to a word at the end of the play, and I couldn't get the word out. And that was the first time professionally that I had gotten stuck on stage. And it was probably a 1 second block, but it felt like 30 seconds. I felt like the world had ended. When I walked off stage, I thought the stage manager would pull me aside and say, "What was that? You're fired." Because for years, that was my biggest fear, that I wouldn't be able to be a professional actor if I stuttered, if I let my secret out. No one said anything. The next day, again, I had no one to talk to, and I was walking around in fear. The next night, it happened again, this time a little bit longer. Again, I had that same fear. Will I be fired when I walk off stage? What will people say? And the third day of this, when I was just feeling so incredibly anxious and so alone, I finally needed to talk to somebody. So there was a gentleman in the show with me, and I said, "Could I come and talk to you about something?" He said, "Yes." And I just unleashed my story on him, probably a half hour, 45 minutes of telling him my whole life story as it relates to stuttering. And he listened very patiently. And at the end of my story, he said, "I stutter too." And I couldn't believe it. Here I was, this 26-year-old person who just knew I was the only one in the world, except for those freaks that I met when I was 11 years old. And here was my new friend who said that he stuttered too. Just the fact, just knowing that there was someone else who stuttered, I felt like a weight had been lifted. Cut to about 2 months later in New York City, my friend calls me and says, "You must go get this book. It's a book called A Life Bound Up in Words by Marty Jaser." I went to Barnes & Noble. I read it cover to cover that day. And I just said, "This is me. This is my story. Oh my goodness, this is my story." I couldn't believe it. And that was the beginning of me starting to accept this thing called stuttering. The third story is the idea to start SAY, the Stuttering Association for the Young. It had taken me 2 or 3 years from reading his book to call the phone number in the back for the National Stuttering Association. I finally did. The woman who answered the phone stuttered, which blew me away. I went to an open house for the NSA and didn't say a word, but just listened to people stuttering openly, which was both liberating and terrifying at the same time. I got into a show called Stomp, which was fantastic because I could be in a show and I didn't have to talk, which made me have the freedom to talk off stage to my castmates for the first time about stuttering. I ended up going on tour with Stomp, and I met a young woman who eventually became my wife, and we fell in love. And I opened up to someone for the first time about my stuttering. She was so accepting, and she said, "I want you to say what you want to say to me. I never want you to hold back. I never want you to change a word because you're afraid of how it might come out." So gaining that confidence from being in Stomp and falling in love with this beautiful young woman and having her accept my stuttering gave me that next step towards acceptance. And then I went to Romania to shoot a film by the directors of Stomp. And a dear friend of mine, before I went, said, "I want you to think about what's next in your life. What is the impact that you want to make on this world? You can't do Stomp forever. Your knees will give out." And I did. And every day when I was there, I just kept thinking, what do I want to do? And there was one morning, I was taking a shower before going to the set, and it was like a lightning bolt hit me. I want to combine the things that I'm the most passionate about, which is working with young people and the arts and stuttering. And I want to create a place where young people who stutter can know that they have everything they need to be successful in life, where they can make friends and express how they feel and feel good about who they are and have fun all at the same time. And that was the idea, and that was the moment that I decided to dedicate my life to working with young people who stutter. And those are the pivotal moments that have led me to now. Now I'm 42 years old. I'm a husband. I'm a father of three amazing children. And I've had the privilege of working with and getting to know so many incredible and courageous young people who stutter and their families since 2001. And those are the pivotal moments that have led me to now.
Tara Alexander, I want to thank you for sharing today on Storytime on Stutter Talk. The stuttering community is so fortunate and lucky to have you. I mean, there are a lot of stars in the stuttering world, but you are a shining star. And I encourage listeners to check out say.org, the Stuttering Association for the Young. Stay strong and keep sharing that strength with all of us, Tara.
Thank you so much for everything that you do, Peter, and thanks for having me on again.